Are you a betting sort of a person, Chris?
Now and then, you know, a little bit of the Grand National, a little bit of roulette wheel now and then. Throw it all on red.
I went to a casino. I've been to a casino twice, right? First time I went, I won £1.30. And I was so excited, I couldn't stop talking about it for a week. I won my parking back, basically.
God, how then, boring.
Then the next time I went, I was full of it. I was like, I'm a winner. I'm going to come out a rich man. And
that's
I lost
where they get you.
£25 immediately and had to leave within 10 minutes because I'd run out of money.
Oh, no. Mm. I've lost more than that, I'll just say, but...
Okay. Well, look, maybe predictions aren't our strong point, but we do know somebody who is a little bit better at it than us, or at least could be. All shall be revealed very soon on this edition of Nullpoint.
Nullpoint is shameful.
Nullpoint is lack of respect for viewers.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
You know what the funny thing is?
I was going to say something really horrible there. No, what is the funny thing?
I predicted you were going to say that.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Come on.
Yes, we're talking about predictions on the show today. And that is because we've got a very special guest coming up on this edition of Nullpoint. And Chris, who is he and what does he do?
Yep. Well, his name is Tim Jummer-1. You'll know him probably as the editor for ESC Extra website that's got all the gossip and news about Eurovision. And you might also know ESC Extra also do something called Eurovision Prediction, where basically it's a game Eurovision fans can take part in from all over the world, and you have to predict which entry is going to win each national final, which is harder than it sounds, I think, actually.
Really
but
hard.
It's possible. Yeah, you get points for each. It's a bit like a sort of Eurovision fantasy football thing, really. A little bit like that. So yeah, we're going to be talking to Tim all about that a little bit later on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to it. So we'll get to that in a little bit. If you've got a prediction as well, and we will do this later, but if you've got a prediction of anything Eurovision related or even not, then we would like to hear from you, and Chris will give you the details at the end of the podcast. First, I wanted to talk about the subject, the gift that keeps on giving, and that is Daddy.
Daddy.
Yes, good old Daddy. And Daddy has come up with some new music and people are raving about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's technically not new in a way, because this is a Christmas song, but he released it in Icelandic quite a few years ago, but he's decided to do an English version. It's called Every Moment is Christmas with You. And I suppose, shall we listen to a very tiny amount of it?
If you would be always here by my side, every moment like Christmas with you.
Now, I have to say, I do like this, and this isn't going to win me any fans in the Daddy fan group, of which you and I are a member. I do like it. However, I would say this. He's definitely got better songs, and almost immediately after I finished listening to this the first time round, I'd forgotten it.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. It's a cozy kind of song, isn't it? It's a classic sort of Christmas number, something to put on when it's cold outside, which it continuously is in Iceland. It's never warm, so you just play it every day in Iceland. But yeah, for us, we would play it over Christmas time. You know, when you're all wrapped up, you've got a nice hot toddy on the go. And I think it's a winter warmer, isn't it? But it's nothing, yeah, it's not in the classic sort of Christmas song area, is it? But as I said, this was made quite a while ago and he's probably gotten better since then. This is just kind of an English version he's done. And, you know, it's nice enough. I would be interested to look back, maybe when we get closer to Christmas, at some of the other Christmas singles that passed Eurovision entries have done and what they sound like. Maybe we could take a little dive into that at some point.
A dive into Christmas with Martin and Chris. Yes, that can come a little bit later.
Dive into Christmas.
Yes, let's stop that.
Forever and ever. forever and ever. Who wants to step into Christmas forever and ever?
Do you know, it's funny that you should talk about Christmas songs, because I, you know, I've got my little keyboard here that I was playing in the last
Make-believe keyboard.
It's a real keyboard. It's a real keyboard. As I clearly demonstrated on the podcast last time.
No, I didn't think it's playing real.
With it. I came up with my own version of We Wish You a Wombling Merry Christmas, but I've just replaced Wombling with COVID.
Oh, how very topical of you.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a hit, but nobody cares.
No, it's funny that.
Anyway, less about that, more about Dardy, who I have been watching on his social media channels, and he's been very busy recently and recording a music video for some new music that he's got coming out, and not even this Christmas song. So there's something in the pipeline. I think it's happening in January. Don't know what it is. Don't know any more details about that, other than they are doing an actual music video for it. So that suggests a single.
You don't think it's going to be the Eurovision song? Could be. Because they'll have to. It's not like they don't make it in May. They have to make it beforehand.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Well, do you think?
Surely that's what he'll be concentrating on at the moment.
Would we hear about that in January, though?
Well, when did we hear about Think About Things? I think it was February, because I went to Iceland at the end of February and we already knew all about it. So probably like mid-Feb
You're right. Oh, this is very exciting. I hadn't even considered this had a Eurovision conversation.
Martin was like, oh, he's making a song. I wonder what this will be.
It's a Eurovision song.
Oh, Martin, well, honestly, why do I bother?
Watch this space for more Dardy news.
Well, it's time now to have a chat. We've been talking all about predictions and betting and that kind of thing. It's time to reveal why, because we're going to chat to Tim Jumawan, who is, of course, the editor for ESC Extra, and he also podcasts at that Euro podcast. But on ESC Extra, you might not know, they have this exciting Eurovision game called Eurovision Predictions. And Tim, tell us a little bit about what that entails. What is it?
Okay, Eurovision prediction, it's basically making a game out of the national final season. So I'll take, let's say, Melody Festivalen, because it's one of the most popular national finals on there. We work on a point system. So let's say there's 12 finalists on the final of Melody Festivalen. You have to guess who's going to win the ticket to the next Eurovision. If you guess the right person, you get 12 points. It goes down a scale. So
okay.
If you, let's say, got the second place, you get 11 points and so forth and so forth. So depending on who you predict can affect how much points you get. And obviously, at the end of the national final season, we'll tally all that up. And whoever got the most points is the winner.
This is such a good idea. And I've been thinking for quite some time as to how it actually would work and how difficult it really is, because not only do you have to just think of who you think's going to win, but you actually have to, it's that, because you could easily just vote for the one that you thought was the best, but you actually got to get into the mindset of the people who were watching in that particular European country. That must be so hard. So what are the tips?
I guess for me, I go on social media quite a lot. On my personal, I'm going to emphasize personal here, because I don't want to be slaughtered here. On my personal perspective, I see where the hype is. That usually is the wrong case, but for me, that's how I do it. I see like, ooh, who is everyone talking about? I also tend to obviously look around like, okay, I got to watch this rehearsal clip, because obviously sometimes they release the rehearsal clips ahead of the show. It's like, what's the show going to be like? Like, what performance is going to be appealing? Because in this day and age, in the 21st century, it's not just about the vocals anymore. So you gotta look at the overall package and you think, is this what represents that country?
That's lots of tips there. So that's excellent. I'm gonna take all that in. I've noticed on your website that someone has won this 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I know. It's when I saw it, I'm obviously looking at it from this year's perspective, like, he's won twice in a row. How on earth did he do that? Like, I played that game. I don't think I think I broke the top 100 barrier, but I don't think I got in the top 50, which broke my heart, because the year before I was doing so well. And broke the top 30 barrier. And last national final season had a lot of heartbreaks for everyone. Obviously, with the cancellation and potentially less national finals this season, it's going to be a tight race for the win, I'm going to say.
I just want to see how good you really were at it, because did you predict that Dardy would do it in Reykjavik?
Yes, that I think with the hype on that one, that was a given.
Right.
That's one of the ones where I just thought, he's getting the hype. I can see this going somewhere. And the fact that, you know, Netflix were linking and all these conspiracies going on Twitter. And
okay, so it was maybe a bit more of a done deal. What were some of the more obscure ones then that you managed to correctly guess that you maybe couldn't have seen coming?
Looking at my predictions, actually, I'm the one that tends to go with the flow. If a majority of players are leaning one way, that's where I'm kind of leaning around. So if we get it wrong, we get it wrong.
Everyone gets it wrong.
Yeah, everyone gets it wrong. So kind of like last year when Festivali in Kengis and there was a hype about Alvaro Gata, that's who the players predicted to win. Obviously, it went to Arlen Ahara and it was already heartbreak, but there was this running theme of like, whoever the players predict on our game, game over.
Oh no. Well, hopefully that won't be the case this year.
That's what we're trying to, like, thinking. Is like, we've kind of made a joke out of it because like everybody just pointed out, it's really like, if you predict it there, it doesn't work. But on most cases, it has worked out the way it should be. So like, let's say Dardy, you had Destiny, you had, who could I say, the Mamas for Sweden.
Okay, so quite a few people then.
You can never really tell anymore. That's just what I'm going to say now.
And tell us then, if people want to get involved with this, there's also going to be a sort of warm-up round around a junior Eurovision if people have never played this before, which I think me and Martin will definitely have to have a try at.
We will.
Well, obviously, at the time of recording, Junior Eurovision is now about to finish revealing all of the contestants that will be competing in this year's edition. We're going to give Junior Eurovision as sort of a dry round. So to give continuous players who have played the game before a chance to get back into the swing of things. And for the new players, a chance to get used to the game.
Awesome.
This is all very exciting. We will definitely have to have a go at this. Me and Chris, we are going to be on it like you won't believe. We thought, though, that we could maybe do a little bit of a dry run even sooner than that. This is just to get your, Tim, to get your kind of prediction head on, just to see how good you really are, put your prediction skills to the test. So we've got some things that we'd like you to predict. I'll go with the first one, and the first one is the Eurovision one, which is which country will win Eurovision 2021?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, considering that nearly half of them have now been announced, but I would be really surprised if he can bring it. On the looking at the prediction side of things, without my personal perspective and just looking at the facts, I still think Dardy can bring it.
Okay, we're writing all this down. Cress has a question.
Yes, we realise it's obviously unfair because half the countries haven't said who they're bringing or anything, so it's obviously just a bit of fun. Now, this is just a non-Eurovision one because we thought, hey, if you're good at predicting Eurovision things, maybe you're good at predicting other things as well. And it's, again, a kind of another country-based one. Who's going to win the World Cup 2022, Tim?
Not knowing everything, I'm just going to say England because I know our history is a bit, and I know that the last time we did it, everyone was like the further we got on the round and on the cup, everyone was just like going manic at my timeline. So yeah. I got heartbroken. Then I'm hoping we get some sort of revenge this time around.
Okay. I find that a difficult one to believe, but hey, stranger things have happened, Tim. Stranger things happen. We've got
exactly.
We've got one more for you, which is, this is a personal one, and it could actually, could change the fate of our happiness for both Cress and I. We are both single at the moment. Which one of us do you think will find love first? Me or my colleague Laura Cress?
Now, just think about it carefully, Tim.
Kind of putting me on the spot here. And I'm
feel free to ask. Feel free to ask any follow-up questions if you need a bit more data.
No, I'd say you.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
Amazing. Amazing. You what? Heard it here first.
What?
I can hear those wedding bells are calling. This is good.
Oh.
I want an invite on the wedding though.
Yeah, all right. Consider it done. Consider it done. No. It's always a done deal. You've said it. So there we go.
Ridiculous, Tim. I can't believe it. Well, I suppose, Tim, I'll ask you. I mean, I don't know why I'm bothering, but tell us a bit more about EC Extra. Do tell us. Even though you've slighted me there, I still want to hear about the website.
Okay. Obviously, we're obviously one of the numerous Eurovision fan websites that has been, well, that's on the web. We've been running since 2011, and there's about over 40 members on our site. So let's just say that we all get on quite well. It's one of the best year. Oh, it's one of the great Eurovision fan websites, and we all just get on quite well. And I hope that you're able to give us a follow at ESC Extra through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, obviously, to be up to date with the news.
Wonderful stuff. Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes, thank you very much. And time now for something that we love on this show, because as we say over and over again, Cress and I, we're terrible when it comes to knowing all there is to know about Eurovision. People think that we are Eurovision geeks, which I suppose is sort of true, but they think that we're the font of all knowledge, and we're absolutely not at all, are we?
No.
We're really quite bad at it.
No, we're dunces. We're Eurovision dunces, if anything. But we're trying. We're trying to learn, and this is the segment of the show where you can learn alongside us, where we pick a bit of trivia from Eurovision past and tell you all about it, all the weirder sides of Eurovision, and what we like to call Trivia Time!
Yes, Trivia Time is back, and here is Cress. I think it is your go, isn't it, to tell us a weird old fact from Eurovision's gone by.
So I'm taking a look at 1990, the year of my birth, actually, and obviously there was a lot of submissions to do with the fall of the Berlin Wall in this year. There was the Austria song No More Walls. Wonder what they were talking about there. Germany had
no more walls at all.
Yeah, just none.
I mean, right, we torn down one wall, now it's time to get rid of all walls.
No more walls. No.
I don't think that's what we should do.
No, look,
keep
we need
some walls.
Some walls are okay. Just not, one or two walls aren't great. But, some walls we need to keep, Austria. Germany had a song, Free to Live. Again, wonder what that was about. Switzerland had a song, Music Rings Around the World. And the UK, was it 15-year-old Emma Booth, who had a song called Give a Little Love Back to the World. I mean, Norway got rid of all the subtleties and just called their song Brandenburg Gate. They just, everyone else was trying to be a little bit subtle. And Norway were just like, no, Brandenburg Gate.
We'll call it Brandenburg Gate.
But what I really wanted to get to was the Spanish sisters who called, I think, Azucar Moreno, and they had a song called Bandido, which means bandit. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get the message that everyone else was going to do things about the fall of the Berlin Wall. And what happened was basically the tape technician. I love that all our trivia, by the way, is like just things messing up on Eurovision. And there's
the thing is the best bit, isn't it?
There's
the best
so
bit.
Many of them. But basically, a tape technician failed to start the pre-recorded backing track in time when they were due to sing, which meant that the two singers, the band and the orchestra, because there was an orchestra around that time, all missed their cues. The singers started their dance routine, but then they realised the tape was in the wrong position. So they just looked at each other and stopped, shrugged and walked off stage, leaving everyone wondering what was going on. The band stayed on stage with the guitarist sort of still playing along to the backing track. No singers, just standing there playing. 2 minutes later, the girls came back out again and started all over again. I can imagine just like the guy, the guitarist on there, just being like, I don't know what, I'm just going to keep playing, just keep playing. So there you go. Needless to say, they didn't win.
There's a great bit of footage that you can find on YouTube, and I'm pretty sure this is real. But it was when the UK hosted the Eurovision Song Contest, and it's so you're seeing the Eurovision Song Contest, but you're hearing what the director is shouting out to his various technical people, so like the camera operator and the people, and they had this revolving stage. And the idea would be that they had people on there and the stage would move round and would reveal different things and the flags would come up and all this thing. So they were very, very pleased with this big technical revolving stage that they obviously spent a lot of money on. And the director seemed to be a very angry man. You've got to go and look this up. He's a very angry man. And he's there and he's going, right, camera three, camera two, right, run the roller, run the roller. And then this stage starts to go round. And he's like, why is the stage going round? Why is the stage running around? Where's the roller? Oh, God, where's the roller? Right, this is all as Eurovision's ending. And this stage is just spinning round and round and round and round.
Oh, and at the end, I think we should try and get that footage if we can.
Yeah. At the end of it, he just says, he's like, well, what happened there? But you can still hear him talking, what happened there? And he said, well, you told me to run the roller, so I ran the roller. I said, yeah, I said the roller. You did the revolve. And so roller was the credits at the end, and that's what he wanted. And the person heard and assumed that roller was revolve. Anyway.
So the stage was just
the stage
going
just
round
spun.
And round.
Just spun and spun and spun, and no credits ever appeared. Brilliant.
Eurovision. We love
Brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. We do.
Some say that stage is still turning round and round to this day.
It's turning in its own grave.
Right, one moment. I just need to put my chicken and chorizo in the oven. So just give me one second, please.
What?
Right, one moment, please.
You can't do this on the podcast.
No, I'm going to stop recording. Stop.
How was that then for you?
You just had to pop the chicken and chorizo in, so.
I think we're at the end of the podcast, though. Aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yeah, but it needed to go in the oven. So
okay, it couldn't have waited just two minutes.
No,
to the end of the podcast.
No, it couldn't. Sorry.
Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for sparing the time to put up with all this, and we will be back with more Null Poir in the future. Thank you, of course, to our guest Tim Jumnawan, who was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for everything, Tim, and do make sure you go and check out all the stuff that he's doing with ESC Extra and the prediction stuff. It's all available to look up online, so please go and do that. And now Cress will have the details for the contact information.
I do, and that was great. @Null on Twitter, yes. Null Poir Podcast at Instagram, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email, baby.
Oh, baby. Right, thank you, and good day.
Right, bye. Off to have my chicken and chorizo.
Thank you.
And potatoes.